I don't know, technology is amazing anyway. Brother John mentioned it in our Sunday school class. Wouldn't that be amazing that God would give you an internet church like that and spread that thing around the globe? And amazing, that technology. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation, there's going to be two at that wall. And we'll get into the book of Revelation if you've got your quarterlies coming up. And after we finish in the book of Zechariah, the quarterly should be disseminated to your Sunday school classes. We'll be diving into the book of the Revelation. And there's two at the wall that'll be slain. Their bodies will lay in the street for 3.5 years, days. And as they're there, the whole world's going to see them. How are they going to do that? Except that the technology makes it possible. And it's there already. Exciting times to be a Christian. Tonight we do have Brother Larry with us, and I've been praying for you, preacher. He's been on the books to come here for quite, I don't know how many weeks ago we asked him, but come on up here, and he needs no introduction. He can give us any information, updates about what the Lord's doing or whatever, but first and foremost, he's God's man for this hour. Let's give him our full undivided attention, and just he preached this morning, he's preaching tonight, so I hope and trust that you've got the stamina and the energy to preach to us, preacher. Come on.
Amen.
I love you, brother.
Amen. I love you too, preacher. Amen. Amen. All right. I'm glad it ain't wholeheartedly dependent on our stamina. Amen. I'm glad we need the help of the Holy Ghost. And we're praying he'll fill us with his spirit tonight and use us. But it does take energy to do it, don't it? Amen. So I wasn't correcting the preacher on that. But we are glad to be here at our home church tonight. Amen. It's good to be back. And do continue to pray for us. Lord, bless us in the ministry. And we was actually supposed to have been down in Georgia this past week, and something happened. And one of the institutions had something going on there, and we weren't able to come in. The other institution literally just dropped the ball and left us off the calendar. But she's called back a couple times this week and already apologized and got us scheduled to go on later down the road. So do continue to pray. The Lord help us. With a ministry inside the juvenile prisons. We are excited at the possibility of Brother Chris coming on with us. And that blesses my heart. Amen. I didn't call him. I didn't coax him or talk him into it. But he said God's called him, so I'll do everything I can to encourage him. I need his help. Amen. I'm excited to see what God done with him this morning. And I'm excited to see what God's going to do with him in them juvenile prisons. That's an answer to our prayer. We pray for laborers, that God would raise up laborers into the harvest. If you don't pray that, I'll go ahead and let you know you're supposed to. Amen. That's what God said. He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. And we take our prayer request and we got our prayer list and put everybody on our prayer. What about praying for God's prayer request? That was one of his. He requested that we would pray for laborers. Amen. So we're praying that God will raise up some more. We're looking at 8 families coming on with Rock of Ages in March. And there's supposedly 4 that's coming with the juvenile team. Now, all of them won't get to come in March. One of them was going to come in March, but right in the middle of it, he's got engaged, so I think he's going to wait till after he gets married, because if he didn't, then the wife would have to go back through that same training again, and instead of going through it twice, he'd just go through it one time. So we're excited to see what the Lord's going to do. So Brother Chris will be with us in March unless he gets engaged between now and then, all right? Y'all pray for me. He'll kill me when we get outside after that, all right? But it's good to see him turn red, amen? It matches his socks, amen? All right, I quit picking on the preacher. I love Brother Chris. He's a blessing. We went to prison together down in Florida, and they said, is that your boy? I said, no, no, no. If it is, I want him to give me allowance. Amen, that'd be all right. But hey, it's good to see you smile in the house of God. We got enough to make us sad, enough to make us cry and break our hearts. We come to the house of God and be happy. And so I want to see you smile. Now, that's good, too. Might be the only chance you get, amen, in the message. But do pray for us. We'll be headed down tomorrow. We had a good friend of ours passed away, one of our missionaries. Very precious, very dear family. And several of you in the church know that family. Some of us have eaten there. Big old pork chops, wouldn't it, Brother Scott? Scott Miller's the only one I ever seen could eat 2 of Miss Jean's pork chops. Them things are so big. And they bring 8 or 10 or 12, I think 19 one of us at one time into their home. Just a little small, meager family that don't have a lot of money and stuff, but got a lot of love for God's people, and they've been a blessing to us. And her husband, when he retired, he volunteered for several years, and when he retired, he joined Rock of Ages, and went long after that, he was diagnosed with a condition that's very unknown in the country, and just watched his body deteriorate over the last few years, and he passed away this week. So we'll be traveling down for that funeral, and from there, we got another meeting we're going to. Then we're getting ready for Alabama Blitz. In our Alabama Blitz, there'll be about 100 of us missionaries and volunteers come together. They'll preach to us in the morning, then they'll disperse us out to 10 different prisons. I have 2 different juvenile prisons I work with. One of them is actual juvenile prison, and the other one is a juvenile boot camp. So I'm excited to see what the Lord's going to do. In the midst of all that, traveling back and forth to the prisons, we got several homeless that we usually witness to in that area as well. So I can't wait to see what God's going to do. I don't know if I've told this here at my home church or not, but we recently recently just gave away our 5,000th bag with the homeless ministry. So we literally have watched God feed the 5,000. Amen. He done it again. And out of that 5,000, somewhere around 150 professions of faith that we've seen from the homeless people. And I don't know about how many got saved after we left or whatever. And you say, well, how many, I'm really got it. Everyone really asked for it. Same as in the prisons. You know, how many really got it when Chris preached this morning? Everyone really asked for it, really got it. Amen. Because God's not trying to make it hard. He's not trying to hide. He's trying to reach his arm out to us. And I'm glad all we got to do is just get a hold of him. Amen. When he reaches out, all we got to do is call upon his name. He's able to save us and change us. Amen. Let's go ahead and get into the Word of God. A couple of different places I want you to turn. I want you to turn to Exodus chapter number 11 and maybe just mark that place or hold your finger there and flip over to Psalms 78. Psalms 78. And we'll ask you, of course, when you find your place, if you're able, let's stand together to reverence God's precious word. Psalm 78 is where I want to read from. Then we'll be going over to Exodus chapter number 11 if you want to be finding it. A portion of scripture I'm going to read, very familiar. I've read it here. I've preached on this scripture here before, but I'm not really going to preach out of Psalm 78. I want to use it for a springboard to get to the thought that God's placed upon our heart. But Psalm 78 and verse number 4 is where we're going to be landing at here just in a minute. It's precious scripture to me. So you that know me and you've heard me say this before, this is a verse of scripture. Psalm 78 verse number 4 is a verse of scripture that God called me to the juvenile team with. Psalms 142 is the scripture that God called me the Rock of Ages. And that's one of the things our ministry stresses is have a verse. For anything that you do, have a verse. Psalm 78, verse number 4, is the verse that God spoke to my heart early one morning, directed me to work. I was working with the adults to start working with the juveniles. And there's a purpose for me using this verse tonight, all right? I want to use it to get us to the point where we can see the point that God has laid on my heart out of Exodus chapter number 11. Let's just read the scripture and we'll try to get into it. And I'll give you the title here in just a minute. But the Bible said in Psalm 78, in verse number 1, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Verse 4 says, We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. Pastor, pray for us if you will. The portion of scripture that God spoke to my heart out of this verse is the part here about showing to the generation to come. If we look at this verse of scripture tonight, he said, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. So God is telling us the things that we have been taught and the things that have been passed down to us that we have learned and been taught to us, referring to the things of the house of God, that we should not hide it from their children. So the question would be tonight, who is their children? I'm glad you asked. If you look over to verse number 6, I think we'll see who their children, who that they're referring to. He said in verse number 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments and might not be, get this now, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit is not steadfast with God. So their children is a reference to those that have no care, no concern for God, have no love for God, don't care anything about God. And God said, we're not to hide the gospel from their children. So for a little while tonight, I want to try to preach on borrowing jewels from the Egyptians. Borrowing jewels from the Egyptians. Now, look over to Exodus chapter number 11, and we'll see if we can make some sense with it. Come on, brother. Borrowing jewels from the Egyptians. Do you realize, as we sit here tonight and listen to our youth choir sing, do you realize we got more children in the youth choir than some churches even have in the church? I thank God for that. Don't get quiet on me now. I'm home here tonight, amen. I thank God for the young people we have in this church. I thank God for the young people that come to this church that have parents that bring them and grandparents that bring them and grandparents and parents that teach them right and make them do right. But also, I thank God for those that we bus in, mostly, I guess, on Sunday morning. If you don't like the bus ministry, you probably ain't going to like the rest of the message. We were in Ohio one time, and we was in a special needs, a maximum security unit, and we tried to sing some little songs with the kids and stuff. Sometimes it's ones that people sang on the church bus and stuff. And this little girl, she knew every one of them. We asked her, Preacher Martin, I might have told this here before, but I'm going to tell it again. We asked her, I said, how do you know all them songs that we're singing? She said, Preacher, she said, they taught them to me on the church bus. She said, they would come and pick me up and take me to Sunday school, and they would tell me about Jesus. And she looked at me, Preacher Mark, and she said, now, how many buses does your church run?
Come on,
bro. I dropped my head. I said, well, at the time, we didn't have any. I said, honey, we don't have any. She asked me a question, Brother Martin, that kind of set me back. She said, what's wrong with your church?
Come on.
Can I be honest with you? When I went in, I didn't think anything was. When I left, I thought maybe they are. She said, you wouldn't let me go to your church, would you? I said, yes, absolutely. She said, but you wouldn't pick me up and bring me, would you? I thought, oh, Lord, help us. I'm glad that God has given us two buses now. I'm glad that God's given us people with a desire to drive in buses and bring those young people in here. It's easy for us to look down a snobby nose and say, I don't want them snotty nose kids in my church. Well, can I tell you, when you stand before Almighty God, and you see souls that had been reached by somebody that wouldn't hide it from their children, that wouldn't hide it from the children of the world, and that they're entering the kingdom of heaven, make sure you tell God that you didn't want them in your church. Make sure you tell God how dirty they made the church, and they might wear the carpet out and all. And I understand sometimes they don't know how to act, and they don't know what to do, but I also understand if the church bus don't reach them, the prison bus might. Prisons believe in busing them in. I've watched them do it. I had a guy one time, and evidently he didn't know me very good. He wasn't grumbling about our church, but it's something our church does. He was grumbling about a specific other church, but he made the statement about feeding these kids on Sunday morning just wasn't right. He just could not understand why they would feed these bus kids. And it wasn't us he was talking about, but it was literally because that's the same thing we do. The reason we feed them, because they're hungry, because they have nothing to eat at home. I just looked him in the eye and I said, you ever read in the Bible about the starving of the 5,000? He said, uh-uh. I said, never will you? And I walked off and left him. Disciple said, should we send him back home? He said, no, what have you got? And he fed him. I've watched God do it with the homeless minister to literally feed the 5,000. We've watched God do it here in the church, how God is able to supply. Has the church went hungry by feeding kids, or has God blessed her? God has blessed our church, and I thank God that He has. And I believe we ought to be going after the Egyptians' children, if I can put it that way. Egypt in the Bible is a picture of the world. I believe there's people, even in our community, there's people in our neighborhood, they won't come to church, but they'll let us go after their kids. We ought to go after mom and daddies too. I'm all for that. But we can't get to mom and daddies. Let's don't say we ain't going to get their young. Let's make a difference in the life of these young people. It's a commandment for God not to hide it from that generation that's to come. And see how it ties in with the Egyptians here, if you're with me, in Exodus chapter number 11. Exodus chapter number 11, verse number 1, the Bible said, and the Lord said unto Moses, yet I will bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. He said in verse number 2, speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and the sight of the people. So here, God has given them a commandment to borrow jewels of silver and jewels of gold from their neighbors, the Egyptians. When I'm thinking about this, how God started dealing with my heart about that, of course, we realize that the promised land is not a picture of heaven. It's not a typology. It's not a type of heaven. It's a type of being, because there was battles to be fought. It's a picture of being in the will of God, the perfect will of God, where He'd have us to be. But can I tell you, I do believe that the Exodus out of Egypt is a picture of us preparing to leave this world. Y'all realize we're going to leave this world one day. We still pre-tribulation church. We still believe that God's going to rapture us out before all this stuff takes place. And as we look at the 10 plagues that you'd find that He brought upon the Egyptians, I believe those are kind of types of the different church ages that we go through. The one where we're at right here, right now, where he's reading that, they were in the ninth one, which is a plague of darkness upon them. I believe that's a picture of America today. I believe it's a picture of our world. We're in a time of darkness. We are the light of the world. We have the light of the world in us, but the world as a whole, if you agree with me, is a dark place. I believe we're in the ninth place, the ninth plague, if I can put it that way in typology. The tenth plague was the death of the firstborn. I believe that's soon coming. The firstborn being those that have never been born again. I'm glad I'm twice born, amen? So when we look at this, and we're looking at the fact that it was a picture of us going to heaven. It was a picture of them leaving out of Egypt, and God told them to borrow jewels. I believe if my typology is right, and that is a picture of us getting ready to go to heaven, I know that we ought to be doing some things while we're getting ready to go to heaven. And I believe the typology is right in that, that we ought to be borrowing some jewels from the Egyptians. Now, what is it, Brother Mark, that we need to borrow from the world? Do we need to borrow their gold and their silver to take to heaven with us? Can I tell you, it's not the gold and silver. If we took a load of gold to heaven, we just hauled pavement. There's walls of jasper, gates of pearl. So I don't believe that God's somehow going to let us go down to the bank and get a loan and shoot some money up in a rocket and get it into heaven. I believe that's a picture of the young people in America that's going to hell, that has a mom and dad that don't care anything about God, that don't care anything about church, that don't believe anything in the Word of God, but they've got some precious jewels hanging around that house in the form of their children, and we ought to do all that we can to be reaching them with the gospel. God never gave us any children of our own, so I'm looking for somebody else's kid. If I can borrow that kid just long enough to share the gospel with them, hallelujah. Thank God for the young people that we have here in the house of God that's come in, week out. Got a mom and daddy, a grandpa, a grandma, somebody that's teaching them the truth. But God help us if we hide it from those children that don't have it. It's a burden on my heart. The passion in my heart is to make a difference in some of these young people's lives. We have no idea the load that these young people carry. We have no idea what they face when they get behind them closed doors at home. We have no idea what they face at the schoolhouse. We have no idea what they face in the places they go. Hey, might just have just a few minutes of peace here at the house of God in the midst of a battlefield that they call home. God help us not get so pious and so self-righteous and spiritual that we wouldn't take time. Look at the kid. Right, buddy. Hey. Psst. Jesus loves you. Okay? I'm scaring. I'm not trying to scare. Hey, little feller. Don't you know Jesus loves you?
That's your son, bro.
We need to be borrowing jewels from the Egyptians. I was thinking about that, and I thought, why is it that God told them to borrow those gold and silver from the Egyptians? Was it he just wanted them to steal from the Egyptians? God didn't steal. He told them to borrow the jewels. So I was thinking about if his typology is right, and they were to borrow from the Egyptians gold and silver, and we're to borrow their children, their treasure, most treasured thing in the home is those young people. It's more valuable than their wallet, more valuable than their watch. All that stuff ain't going to amount to nothing in heaven. I want to go after the youngins. That's the real treasures. So why is it? I believe if we'll look at the reason that God told the children of Israel to borrow the gold and silver from the Egyptians, we'll see a perfect picture of why God wants us to go after the children of the world. Well, the number one reason, if you'll study it out and figure out why it was that they needed to borrow the gold and the silver. Let me run a rabbit trail here. I missed something too. I believe we're in that ninth plague, is what I said. Darkness is here. We're fixing going to death. I want you to hold your finger in chapter 11 and flip back to chapter number 3. I missed this, but I don't want to miss it. Because when we're at chapter 11, it's coming down to the end. That's what he said right here. Go ahead and find your place over there. Back in chapter 11, verse number 1, he said, yeah, I will bring one more plague. It's coming down to the end. I believe that's where we're at today. But he didn't just start telling them in chapter number 11 to start borrowing the gold and the silver. If you look back to chapter number 3, they supposed to already been doing it. Chapter number 3 of Exodus, verse 22, he said, "But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor, and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons, upon your daughters. You shall spoil the Egyptians." So it wasn't just something he started in chapter number 11, chapter number 3. He told him already be doing it. So it might be, as we're coming down to the close of this thing, it ain't something that God's just telling us to do now. We're supposed to already been doing it. But I believe sometimes we need a little encouragement to do what God's told us to do. I'm excited at the prospect, Brother Mark, of the youth revival that's coming up. I won't get to be here. But the reason I won't get to be here, it's not that I'm gone fishing, I'm gone here, gone there. I'm doing things to reach other of the Egyptians' children. But I'm excited. You know what? This might be just a pep rally for that tonight, but I believe you ought to beg, borrow, or steal. Don't steal, I guess, but somebody else is youngin' to get them to the house of God. We'll do everything we can to get them under the preaching of the Word of God in the youth revival that's coming up. Amen. We'll do everything we can to get them in the house of God. We're supposed to already be doing it. Right. I think we need to do a little more. Right. Try to reach them. Now let's flip back to chapter 11. As we're looking at the things here, the reason that they would borrow, he said in verse number 2 of chapter 11, he said, "Speak now the ears of the people." Notice what he said here, "Let every man borrow." Back in chapter 3, he just specifically mentioned the women, but here, now he's getting on to the men. Could it be that he told the women to do it in chapter 3 and the men thought, "That ain't for me to do"? Come on. Can I tell you, sometimes us big, strong men, we won't take time out to play with a youngin. If we can play with them sometimes, I know we men. But if we can take the time just to spend a little time, pay them a little bit of attention, they'll remember you when they get older. My wife talks about brother drove the school bus with Earl Alexander. We'd give him candy and stuff. Show the love of God to those youngins. They don't forget that when they get older. But I'll tell you also what they don't forget, those that treat them wrong. That will stick with them. You might be the only picture of Christianity that they get to see. God knows some of these kids not getting it at home. And if they come in here and they get the same treatment that they get at home, what's the use of coming back? That's a different message, maybe. Come on, different point anyway. So we're looking at the reason he told them to borrow the silver and gold. The most obvious reason he told them to borrow the silver and gold was for the building of the tabernacle in the wilderness. But the gold that they borrowed would melt it down, and they use them for the different parts of the tabernacle in the wilderness. I've done a study. I'll try to look it up. If my estimation is right, it took an estimated 2,800 pounds of gold, 9,800 pounds of silver to build the tabernacle. So I'm thinking about, he told them to borrow these treasures for the building of the tabernacle. You know why he wants us to go after their children? God's building his bride. And he wants his young people to be a part of it. He don't want them to die and go to hell. He don't want them to die not hearing the gospel. That's why y'all be careful where you let your children go to. We heard just recently, I don't know where it was, some kind of an event that was taking place, and they had these little bracelets, you know, where the red bead means blood and the green means new life and all that. And all that stuff's all right. That's pretty good. But somebody was talking about their kid went in that thing and they were showing them all the different colors, which sounds real good. And they said, "Okay, now if you're not sure you're going to heaven, why don't you repeat this prayer with me? We'll all go to heaven together." Little boy said, "I know I'm going." They said, "But you got to repeat this prayer after us." And after he said, they say a word, you say a word, they told him, "Okay, now you got assurance of salvation." He said, "I had assurance of salvation before I come in." Where you got to watch where you send your children. I probably told it here, but we were down in Okaloosa, Florida. Brother Chris might have been with us. I'm not sure on this trip. We said a 12-year-old boy pedaling a bicycle, and he looked like he was homeless. And I called him over, gave him a gospel tract, and told him Jesus loved him. I said, "Buddy, anybody ever talk to you about Jesus?" And he said, "No, sir." His home had burnt down. He was living in a real rough hotel. Looked worse than the Lowe's Motel here in town. Just a real rough place. And I said, "Nobody ever told you about Jesus?" And he said, "No, sir." I said, "Anybody ever taught you John 3:16? He said, "What's that? I never heard it before." I said, "Buddy, you never been to church?" By the time I wasn't expecting what he said, he said, "I went to church, but they never told me anything about Jesus." I'm going, "What kind of church did he go to?" First thing I thought, "Where's his daddy?" Then I thought, "What kind of church would you go to? Probably played games and danced with him or something, I don't know." But he said, "They didn't tell me anything about Jesus." Young people, you know what I thought? What kind of friends did he have at church to never talk to him about Jesus? You talk to your friends about Jesus? We talk about sports and movies and everything else. I don't think a kid could come into Calvary, hang around here very long without hearing about Jesus. But I about guarantee there's some kids at school can hang around you. Did they hear about Jesus? They need to. God's building His bride. He wants us to reach out to these kids that have no hope outside the house of God. They have no hope of anybody reaching them with the gospel. A little boy pedaled his bicycle off, Preacher Mark. He didn't get saved, but I tell you one thing. He knew who Jesus was. Had him a King James Bible under one arm and a bag full of goodies on the other. I'm not patting me on the back. I'm patting you on the back. You helped me to be able to reach these kids. And I thank God for that. But there's other kids that we can reach. God help us that they would be a kid here in Miller's Creek, here in North Wilkesboro, that would be within shouting distance of this church that don't know who Jesus is. God help us to reach out to them. That's part of the bride of Christ.
Amen.
He told them to borrow the treasures because they need it for the building of the kingdom or the tabernacle. God's building His bride. Not only did He have them to borrow the silver and the gold for the building of the tabernacle, I believe He had them to borrow. The reason it wasn't stealing, by the way, they had worked hard for the Egyptians. They were taskmasters. God was just paying them for their labors. You know why God tell us to go and reach the Egyptians' children? Those kids are dying to go into hell. It's not that God needs the treasures of this world. God wants you to have some treasures in heaven. All the stuff down here is going to pass away. You can have the biggest 401k. You can be so good you can have an 8012 if there are one. But when you die, they're going to put you 6 foot in a hole like everybody else. And the only thing going to be on the other side is what we take with us. He wanted them to have rewards for the labors they've done. God wants you to have rewards for the labor you've done. Taking a little kid, spending some time, even if you got to play with them a few minutes, give them a gospel tract to try to make a difference in their life. Tell them about Jesus. Buy them a Bible. Put that Bible in their hand. Marlene, have we not seen it? Kids that would take Bibles. First Bible they ever had. We've seen them take that Bible, Brother Mark, and hug that Bible and say, "May I keep this?" One little boy down in Columbia, South Carolina, is how he put it. He said, "Somebody paid real money for that." I said, "Yeah. Somebody give real blood, real life that we could have the Word of God. And somebody give real money that you could have a Bible." Boy from China, UNC Chapel Hill, he said, "My Bible? I can have it?" I said, "You can have it. I'm thinking, take it home with you. If you go back to China, take it with you." Putting a Word of God in somebody's hand to make a difference. We'll have reward in heaven for that. Not only for the building of the tabernacle, not only as a reward for the labors, but also for the succession of God's plan. God knew that as they traveled through the wilderness, as they the ones that wouldn't make it over to go over to the promised land, He knew as they continued through, there was things that they was going to need. Some of the things that He had them to take with them when they left, there was things for the succession of. You know why we need to keep reaching out to the young people today? We're not always going to be here. We're going to drop off the scene. I'm going to fall over dead one of these days by normal course of man. I want somebody to be able to come in my shoes and run farther with this thing than I've ever been. That's why I love the MAP school that they're letting me work on now. We're training young people that has a desire to do something for God. I'm stirred up about that. I can't call them. I can't call them to preach. I can't call them to be missions. But if God's already started working something inside their heart and their soul about missions, you better believe I'm going to fan the flame. I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to do everything I can to try to make a difference that they would go and win more people to the Lord than I ever will. Hallelujah. We ought to encourage these young people. We ought to encourage them to serve God. It do us real good sometimes just to come up. You're the youngest one I got up here close to me. Just to go look at them and say, "Preston, how you doing? How you doing, Preston? You doing okay? Everything really okay?" Mm-hmm. Do us good sometimes. Spend a little extra time just to try to encourage them. Just to try to encourage them. I already heard tragic things tonight already. Some people just need our encouragement. Right. These young people just need somebody to come by and say, "Hey, how's everything? Everything going all right? Is everything going good at school? Everything going good at home?" Just brag on them sometimes. "Hey, you done a good job singing. Man, it's so good to see you in the house of God." We focus sometimes on us. Let's get in, let's get out, let's do what we need to do. I believe we spend a little extra time, some time encouraging some of these young people. Hey, you look nice. Boy, that's a nice shirt. That's a nice dress you have on. Boy, your hair looks good that way. Just trying to encourage them. Maybe sometimes we need to say to come up beside them and just put our arm around them and say, hey, don't you know I love you? Just encourage them a little bit. It'll go a long ways.
Amen.
I want successors. God, I believe God would have us to keep reaching out to people that somebody could come in behind. How are they going to hear if we don't share it with them?
Right.
Successors in the ministry. Not only that, but I think about the ones that, the stuff that was going, they was going to use, the ones that didn't make it over to the promised land, we're going to need things to be able to get from point A to point B. And I think about that. We need to be keep reaching these children for the occupation of the promised land. If I can put it that way, that the praises of God, if I can, maybe a better way to put it, that the praises of God will continue. We need to teach these young people how good God's been to us. One of the things we see in the ministry, the reason some young people won't surrender to go to the ministry, and we have to be cautious about this. Sometimes we grumble and complain about how bad people's treated us. Missionaries are bad for that sometimes. I've heard some of that this week. Just grumble, grumble, grumble. Can I tell you, you're looking at one preacher here, everything ain't always went my way, but I've got no sad stories to tell. God's been good to us.
Amen.
I want these young people to know that serving God don't make you a second-class citizen.
Come on,
it don't make you less than anybody else.
Right.
I'm the least of the least. That's fine with me. Hallelujah. In fact, people say, what's wrong with you that you got to preach in prison? I like to look at them and say, I guess I'm just one of God's pets. So I'm having a time of my life serving God. But Chris, it ain't always easy when we got to be gone. It ain't always easy when we got to miss out on things taking place at church. It ain't always easy when you got to miss out on things that's going on at home with the family, whatever. But it's for a purpose. It's for a cause. We got to make sure that we're borrowing some jewels from some Egyptians. Let me challenge you this week. Your daily routine, your daily walk. Take some time to look for that kid that might be hurting. Take some time to look for that young person that might not have any encouragement at home. Take some time to look for that one that may never, anybody ever share the gospel with them. And go the extra mile to try to make sure, if it ain't nothing, just walk by them and say, hey, Jesus loves you. And walk up. They'll be sitting there scratching their head thinking, what was that? Spend a little extra time with them. Borrow some jewels from the Egyptians. This world out here don't care anything about God and the things of God. Sometimes they'll let our children come to the house of God because they want to goof off and do the things they want to do, and you get their children out from underneath their hair. You know what I say? Go get them anyway. They'll hear the gospel when they get to the house of God. You say, we're just a babysitting service. No, we're a baby preaching service. Amen? We ain't just sitting around the house of God. Pastor Mark preached the gospel to them. Line them up. I'm going to share this and I'm going to be done. There was somebody had posted something online and I had seen it. Preacher Mark shared it on his phone in the prayer room. Somebody was supposedly looking for a church. I'll just abbreviate it. They was looking for a church, but the church they looking for, they didn't want one that was fundamental. They didn't want one as a Baptist. They don't want one that preaches heaven or hell. They don't want one that preaches against their sin. They want one just to fit their agenda. To preach to them what they think the Bible, and they want to believe the parts of the Bible they want to and parts that they don't. They say it's just something else. They don't want to believe none of that and all that. But he read that, and I read that this evening, and it kind of hit me in the heart. You know, these people, you know, they're not looking for a church, they're looking for a social club and all that. And in the midst of all reading that stuff, you know what God hit me with because he was preparing my heart for this message? Yeah, but those people may have children. You know what the Egyptians are looking for their children? They're looking for entertainment, but God's looking for evangelism. They want somebody to entertain their children. I want to evangelize their children. I want to get the gospel in their heart. Young people, you have a good field sometimes in the schoolhouse and different places because you have young people. You have their ear. They'll listen to you. And I don't mean that you got to walk down through the school hall and start preaching. You ain't got to drag a cross in a math class with you. But you live it in front of them. If somebody else is giving them a hard time, you ought to try to encourage them. Be there for them. Borrow some children from the Egyptians. We have Egyptians living all around here, world, that don't care if their youngins hear about Jesus or not. Can I tell you, I care. Jesus cares. I believe I got a church that cares. I believe we're in a church tonight that does care for them. Yes. But don't just think that's somebody else's job. These that drive the bus, I'm not sure at the time how many drives the bus. I got a general idea. I asked Brother Chris how many comes. I think it's between 20, 25 kids that we bring in, and I thank God for that. I have room to slide a few more on there. These that drive the vans, let's encourage them. It might be sometime we could relieve them. It might be sometime we can say, hey, let me do it once. It takes commitment to do that. I understand that. Let's encourage those. Let's do our part to try to help them. If everybody in here would make a conscious effort for the youth revival that's coming up to find some kid that maybe never heard of Jesus, that don't go to church, find some kid and bring him, pack his house out. For young people, I know Brother Shue's going to preach the gospel to them. But he can't win an empty pew to the Lord. Let's make an effort. I ain't going to be here, so I won't know if you brought anybody with you or not. God will. One day we're going to stand before God as God's children, and we're going to give an account. Chapter 3, he told them to do it. Chapter 11, he had to tell them twice. God should never have to tell us twice what he's told us to do once. Daddy never did like it when he had to tell me to do something the second time. Anybody get a witness on that one? Wonder how it makes our Heavenly Father feel. When he's got to tell us over and over and over again, this thing's about over. Even the Satanists believe that. What are we doing? Try to, you know why so much of the junk of the world is focused to the kids? I seen advertised on TV. They've got a new ungodly cartoon coming out for kids. You had the Simpsons, you had the South Park and some of that other garbage, and I can't think what it is. Probably wouldn't call the name if I would, but I seen it advertised. They're coming out with another ungodly cartoon. Why did they put it in cartoon format? Because the devil hates your children. The children are the front line of the battles. I've said it time and time again. He's not coming. The devil have a hard time coming and convincing Tam Cheek that that's not the word of God you got in your hand. He'll come after your grandkids. He'll come after the other generation and the other generation. They're the front lines of the battle. If we cut off supplies to our soldiers on the front line, they're going to lose. They're going to lose. They ain't got ammunition. They ain't got this. They don't have food. They don't have the clothes. They don't have the armor they need. If we cut off that, there's no way they can win the victory. Are we cutting off the armor to these young people? Have you put a sword in their hand? Have you put some encouragement in them? Have you put any food in their belly, clothes on their back? Church does that, and I thank God for it. Thank God for it. You know what? I think we ought to do more of it. Trying to encourage these young people. Borrowing jewels from the Egyptians. We stand to our feet all over the house. Couple different questions I want to ask you in the invitation. Certainly, if you're a young person here tonight and you're having a hard time, you're going through a hard time, you're facing things nobody knows. See, sometimes we look at these children. I looked up here in the youth choir and I thought, boy, they all look happy. We don't know what a load they're carrying. We have no idea sometimes. We got a pretty good idea of our children, what they face at home, but we don't know what they face at school. Unfortunately, as it is, some churches, we don't know what kids face from other kids in the church. We never know what they go through. They need our encouragement. These people lost and going to hell around this church, young people, we need to do all we can. Start borrowing some of those jewels. Asking God, how is it we can reach some more of these young people? What can I do, God, to make a difference in some of these young people's lives? If you really want to know that tonight, if you'll come get on this altar, God might have something special for you you never thought of. I think back a few years ago, Brother Mark, we was out running around one Saturday. But actually, we was riding around looking at some yard sales and stuff. I went down into the projects, and I thought, man, This would be a good place to come set up on a Saturday, try to reach some young people. That's as far as it went. My wife, I told my wife about it. I never said anything to anybody else. God put it on my heart, but I just kind of forgot about it. But it wasn't long after that, Brother Chris said, we're getting something together. We're going to go on a Saturday. I said, where are you going? When he said where it was we were going, I said, wow, that's exact same place that God put on my heart some time back. Y'all remember going there? I can't seem like we had some saved. I can't remember. That'll be rewards to your account, Brother Chris. That'll be rewards to the church for what they did. It's one time this preacher, I dropped the ball. I thought, I'm doing enough. That's a good idea, but I never went forward with it. I wish I would have. Maybe God's laid something on your heart. Don't drop the ball. Make a difference in their life. As we sing, if you need to come, the altar is open. Hey, if there's a young person here tonight, you're going through a hard time, you need some help, you need somebody to pray with you, you just need somebody to talk to, will you come, get somebody by the hand and bring them to the altar and say, would you go pray with me?